This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. There's been a lot of activity since the state election. Labor was elected on a pretty substantial policy of infrastructure building. A lot of, level crossing removals, the metro tunnel, all this sort of stuff. Benjamin Priest is with The Age, and Benjamin has written a piece. Good morning, Benjamin. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
That's good, and glad to have you back on. Hope you had a nice break.
I did. I had a good 4 weeks off, and didn't know myself. Just got back this week.
Wow.
Good on you.
It's a bit hard to get back into the saddle, isn't it?
It's a long way to come down after 4 weeks, but it was such a busy end to the year that I think that, a lot of the state rounds reporters really needed a good break.
Yes, you're right there. So basically what we've seen is that Labor's election policies, the policies that they convincingly won the election on, are actually going to increase state debt. Is the amount about $7 billion? Is that correct, Benjamin?
So this is what we saw from the Parliamentary Budget Office, on the report they released this week. So that was the figure that they said would impact this budget. So if all those policies are enacted, that's how much it would cost the current budget over the 4 year forward estimates period. So I guess there is not any huge surprise with that. They were talking a big infrastructure game, and everyone knows that costs money. It costs taxpayer dollars. And I guess the other element to that as well is that before the election, just 2 days out, Tim Kallis came out and said that they were planning to double state debt over a period of time from 6 to about 12% of GSP, if I remember correctly. Right. So there was warning that this kind of thing was going to happen.
Do you think Michael Kroger, has been quoted many times saying, the main reason that the Victorian government, Andrew's government, was re-elected was they were a government that was seen to be doing things, building things. Do you think any increase in debt, and it really depends on how you service it, but at the end of the day, do you think people are actually concerned about this, Benjamin, or is it, a discussion that we're actually borrowing money to build infrastructure as opposed to borrowing money for recurrent spending?
Yeah, I would think it's the latter. Borrowing money to build infrastructure. And I think there's a couple of things going on at the moment. During the week, a senior official from the Labor Party, Cosmas Samaras, wrote in his blog that the housing boom is one of the things that that really influenced the Victorian election. Because what we've got is we've got a lot of Victorians now servicing high levels of personal debt.
Yeah.
And what that means is that they've had to rely on government services in a way that the middle class hasn't had to so much, I guess, in the 80s and 90s. So we've got a middle class that is looking for substantial government services, public transport. We've seen more families turning back to public schools.
Yeah.
So people want these kinds of projects, and I just think that sound economic management was not so much a prominent theme in the state election. I didn't hear people talking about the importance of keeping debt down and those kinds of things. I mean, the opposition, the Liberals, were trying to make that a bit of a theme, but it didn't resonate because people need these services in their lives now.
Benjamin, it's Tass here. I'd take it a step further and argue that, in fact,
the whole issue of funded policies had become less of an area of interest. For the first time ever, there were ideas that were put on the table that weren't costed even. The Metropolitan Rail Rink, for example, did not have a price tag attached to it.
Yes, well, I mean, I think, you know, that figure that they were talking about, the $50 billion, it's such a big one that I feel like people don't feel like that's something that's going to impact them in the near term.
Yes.
The advantage of that project, though, is that obviously this government is not going to be around to cut the ribbon on probably, you know, even the first, most likely even the first section of it. But it showed a kind of a long-term vision, or at least ideas for the long term. And rail is very popular in Melbourne.
Look, I think you're right. I think that the Victorian election was actually won on a vision, and it was won on. It was, in a sense, a positive vision. A positive vision, and it was actually a contest of ideas for a positive vision, as opposed to the usual fear mongering, which is where the opposition's campaign really seemed to settle on. But in saying that, I do think this is quite a shift. You know, ordinarily, we've had very, very detailed costings on initiatives, and for the first time ever, it sort of didn't matter. It didn't matter in this election campaign that we didn't have costed ideas the way that we have previously.
Yeah, look, I think to a large extent that's true. And I think there's maybe a couple... There's probably a lot of things going on that's kind of influenced that at the moment. I think part of it, though, is that people know that things like building infrastructure, building these projects are expensive. And maybe they feel like, well, we're carrying high levels of personal debt to pay off our home, and that's something that we're not going to fully realise until a long way into the future. Maybe they're not that concerned about how much things are going to cost in 2 or 3 or 5 or 8 years.
Or 20 or 30 years.
That's actually quite an interesting parallel, Benjamin, because, yeah, people, you know, they take on debt to buy their home, and they know they're not going to pay it off for X number of years or decades, and they accept that. The subconscious thought there is, well, you know, we want these services, and as you said, increasingly the middle class are demanding greater access to some of these services that government provide. Perhaps people have gone, well, you know, you want this, you've got to pay for it.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And I think that we are in a very different space at the moment, where it's just this interesting period where people are so really reliant on these services in a way that that they might not have been
in the past,
15 years ago. You know, so infrastructure's kind of become a bit sexy.
It has. Do you, if I can ask you, Benjamin, I know it's early days. Michael O'Brien as opposition leader, what's your... I assume you've had some discussions with him, but, you know, what's your... How do you think he's going to go? I mean, 4 years is going to be a long time for the next election, but how's it going?
Yeah, I think he's been off to the opposition in general has been off to a bit of a quiet start so far, which is probably a good thing because, I mean, they've got a lot of thinking to do. You know, I think that they're going to have to kind of really meditate for a while on what happened and on what people want. I think that he's been, and I think there's some very kind of like subtle nuances here, but he's before the break, he was talking about getting back to the centre. And I think since then, in the one or two doorstops I've been through that he's been there, the language has been a little bit milder. And I'm not talking about the comments about the heat and that kind of thing yesterday, but more around pill testing, that kind of thing. I mean, you know, he's still opposed to it. But I felt like, you know, the language was not kind of like striving to, you know, drugs are bad, this is wrong, it's got to, you know, the law is the law. There was It's a kind of subtle toning down of that and a bit of an acknowledgement that you can't kind of police your way around out of that problem. So this is going back to the beginning of the week, but that was my impression of how Michael O'Brien sort of kicked things off this week.
Well, he's got about 200 weeks to the next election, so
yeah.
I suppose every week is going to count.
If he makes it to the next election, of course.
Oh, well, he wants the job test.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it'll be interesting to see if he can keep his team together.
Yeah.
It's way too early to talk about whether there's how satisfied people are with his, like, opposition MPs are with his leadership. I mean, you know, he's barely climbed into the saddle. But to Matthew Guy's credit, he did keep his team together over 4 years. That would indicate to me that perhaps there is a willingness in the opposition, or at least an understanding that they don't want to be infected by the same kind of leadership
ructions
that affected the Feds. So, maybe there's a bit of discipline there. I just think that, you know, they probably understand. It doesn't do anybody any favours.
Yeah.
Knife a leader who seems to, you know, who hasn't made any shocking errors, you know?
Well, look, we'll let you go, Benjamin. And I say to our listeners, look, read that piece in The Age. Labor's elections policy to increase debt, particularly, you know, this is talking about the Victorian government. A nice piece, Benjamin, well written.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time this morning, Benjamin.
We'll be speaking to Benjamin again probably in a couple of weeks. Have a nice weekend, Benjamin, and welcome back to work.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me on the show.
Cheers. Cheers.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.